For WUKY News, I'm Dan Collins, and this is The Business Side. As the pandemic continues to put a strain on businesses across America, more and more owners are looking to the government for help and guidance. Agencies like the Small Business Administration, which reopened the portal this month for economic injury disaster loan programs. My guest today on The Business Side is the Senior Area Manager and Public Information Officer for the Kentucky District Office of the Small Business Administration, Mr. Michael Ashcraft. Michael, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's a pleasure being there with you.
So first question, tell me a bit about the Small Business Administration and the role that it plays in federal government.
Well, the SBA, or that's short for the U.S. Small Business Administration, we've been around since 1953. And when it was formed, it was the only federal agency that was created solely to help small businesses, to focus on helping them start, grow, and expand. And to this day, we are still unique in that we're the only federal agency that's solely focused on small businesses. Now, we do that in four different ways. First, and probably foremost in terms of help, is through our resource partners. We have folks we work with who sit down directly with the businesses and provide them with free, it's no cost, confidential, extremely high quality counseling services to either those who are a small business that are looking to grow, having challenges, or for somebody that is just an entrepreneur who is interested in starting a new business. So that is probably the way we impact businesses throughout the state. And by the way, there are about 360,000 small businesses just in Kentucky. So the counseling services are front and center in terms of how we work with small businesses through our resource partners. The second thing, and something particularly now that is so important, is access to capital. Small businesses, as most people are aware, have extremely challenging situations when it comes to accessing capital through a lender. So SBA has three separate loan programs that they work with small businesses where they are a startup or an existing business that's growing and expanding. Loan amounts as small as $500 up to $5.5 million. So it covers a broad swath of small business needs for virtually every type of project. The third is for existing small businesses in two ways where we help them. We assist them in growing their business in a profitable way, and that is through government contracting, whether it be federal government, state, local government, and other organizations that need and want small businesses as part of their mix of service providers. They help them to get, in many cases, they need to get certified. So SBA helps with a certification process, offers some unique certifications for veteran-owned, minority-owned, and women-owned businesses, and then also with exporting, which is a huge way for small businesses to grow their revenue stream. And the fourth way is through advocacy. We have a separate arm that acts on behalf of small businesses as an advocate role, and we do things like small business awards once a year, Small Business Saturday. We're involved with that every year right after Thanksgiving. We do publications directed and focused on small businesses and try and help recognize them. So that's the ways that we work with small businesses. And one thing that we also do, which is now extremely important, is recovering a business. That has almost been an afterthought. And what I mean by that is that we help those small businesses recover from a disaster. And typically, it's a natural disaster of some sort. We've never had one of this scale with a nationwide pandemic that we're dealing with right now. So it's been quite a challenge.
Sure. And that's pretty top of mind right now. Can you tell me a little bit about the economic injury disaster loans and who can apply for them?
Yes, that's very important. And those portals just did open up again to all small businesses. So any small business that's eligible, you have to be classified as a small business to be able to get one of these economic injury disaster loans, or we call them EIDLs, E-I-D-Ls for short. But those are for not just small businesses, but also for private nonprofits. We are able to offer them these working capital loans or EIDL loans. And then also something we've not been able to do up until recently when Congress gave us the permission to also work with agricultural-based businesses. So if you're any type of small business, as long as you're classified as a small business, in almost all cases, if you're an agricultural-focused business, We can work with you on these loans as well. And for nonprofits, most kinds, not all, but for many of the small private nonprofits, typically 501c3s, 501ds, 501es, and then veterans organizations as well. And we've been able recently to also work with religious affiliated organizations like churches and schools and such. So it covers most of the organizations out there across the country that we can work with now.
There are a lot of similarities between EIDLs, as you call them, and the oft-referenced PPP loans offered through the CARES Act. How are these two programs different?
Yes. Well, that's a great question because there's a lot of confusion. With the EIDLs, they can use the money. And again, it's a working capital loan. It is a loan, and there is an interest rate for a small businesses. They are 3.75%. For nonprofits, it's 2.75%. Terms as long as 30 years. They can use those for fixed debts, payroll, accounts payable, and other similar types of business expenses. With the PPP, or the Paycheck Protection Program, which was created by the CARES Act, it overlaps in the sense that they can also use the proceeds from this loan for things such as payroll and utilities, et cetera. Now, the difference is that with the PPP, that is a up to 100% forgivable loan. So what they have to do is follow guidelines in terms of trying to get folks who have been on their payroll who were impacted by COVID-19 and the shutdown of those businesses to get them back on payroll. And these funds allow the small businesses and the nonprofits, enable them to be able to bring people back on the payroll. What Congress realized was when the government forces the shutdown and the businesses have to let people go, they don't have any income. If their business is closed, therefore they aren't able to pay people, it impacted everyone so dramatically and almost overnight. So the program was designed to give businesses enough money to bring people back on board as they ramp up and begin to slowly reopen. They've got cash available to pay their employees and to be able to work with their former customers and as they reopen the business. So the big differences are with the PPP, it's a forgivable loan up to 100% if they follow those guidelines, which, by the way, those guidelines recently changed and are loosened up, so they have a little more latitude in how they spend the proceeds from the PPP loan.
So what happens if I'm a business owner and I'm approved for both an EIDL and a PPP loan? Do I have to choose one over the other?
No, they can. And many business owners I have personally talked to have taken both the EIDL and the PPP. And by the way, there's a separate component to the EIDL called an EIDL advance, which is in essence a grant, $1,000 per employee up to 10 employees. So they have that as a resource as well to use for funding the business expenses. But they don't have to choose one or the other. Big word of caution is you cannot use the proceeds from the EIDL program and the PPP to overlap. In other words, the PPP program is focused mostly on your payroll side, on your expenses, salaries, wages, and other related payroll expenses. That's where most of that funding should go for your business. When it comes to the EIDL, what we recommend for a lot of folks is use that for things that you don't have the money in the PPP program to use. In other words, maybe with the EIDL, you use those proceeds for things like your rent and some other expenses you might have, like utilities. Whereas the PPP, you have that perhaps just for payroll expenses and perhaps something different. When you start commingling the funds, it makes it very hard to document. And when it's hard to document, when you go to ask for forgiveness on the PPP, you don't want to have any question in anyone's mind because you present the documents back to the bank and they have to assess, or other lender that you work with, they have to assess whether you used them in a proper way before they can recommend whether that loan gets forgiven or not. Separating and segregating the funds and not overlapping them will make a small business person's life much easier when it comes time to request forgiveness on the PPP funds.
So final question, there's evidence that this pandemic has disproportionately affected Black-owned small businesses and minority-owned small businesses. Is the SBA doing anything to ensure that Black and minority-owned businesses have sufficient loan access?
There is evidence that Black-owned and minority-owned businesses have not had as much access to these programs, and they have been affected dramatically by the pandemic. So, in fact, SBA has been focused for really for decades on minority-owned businesses and trying to level the playing field. And they have separate programs for that with government contracting and other things. When it comes to lending, a couple of unique things through the CARES Act that they did, the funds, they actually were able to set aside $10 billion back in May just for what's called Community Development Financial Institutions, or CDFIs. So those are typically small lenders. They are common both in underserved urban areas as well as rural communities across the country. And that's exactly the situation in Kentucky. So we've got a lot of those minority-owned, particularly African-American minority-owned businesses that have had trouble because perhaps they didn't have a strong relationship with a lender, a bank or a credit union where they could have gone to apply for the PPP loan. So these other CDFIs, which are typically a nonprofit lending organization, they can get funding through them. We also have set up for these folks that have had challenges in trying to borrow funding through fintechs or financial technology firms, companies like Cabbage, PayPal, Square, QuickBooks, and Intuit. All are companies that are doing this type of lending. You can get online financing that way. You can deal with community development financial institutions or CDFIs. And Kentucky has about at least 12 at my last count across the state that can work with these minority-owned small businesses. And then also another unique situation that Kentucky has is that we have proportionately so many more community banks, smaller banks. Many states, particularly high-density population states, have many more large lenders. And the large lenders are very efficient, but they also work mostly with larger customers. So that was a challenge nationwide. And fortunately, we didn't have as much of a challenge in Kentucky because we have so many of the community banks who are smaller, can turn on a dime and react more quickly and get the paperwork process a lot of times pushed through more rapidly. The combination of those things has helped alleviate some of the challenges that many other states have seen. We segregate the lending by a state, a breakdown of it by state. So, for instance, in Kentucky, I just got some numbers a week ago where we have $91 billion in EIDL loans across the country and over $512 billion of PPP loans. Well, in the state of Kentucky, we've done about $5.9 billion combined with these two types of loans. And just to give you an idea, and that's over 84,000 loans in about 8 weeks. For the prior 10 years with the regular SBA programs, we did about $1.8 billion in lending over a 10-year period. So in about 8 or 9 weeks' time, we've done almost 3.5 times what we had done in the prior 10 years in terms of loan dollars and over 11 times the number of loans that we had done in the prior decade. So that gives you a sense of the magnitude of the loans. And more of these are smaller dollar loans, too, which is also indicative that we're getting to the funding to some of these smaller businesses that need a smaller amount than it had some challenges trying to get those from big lenders.
That's all the time we've got today. My guest today on the business side has been the senior area manager and public information officer for the Kentucky District Office of the Small Business Administration, Mr. Michael Ashcraft. And you can hear our entire conversation on WUKY.org. Michael, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Dan.